Good morning. We can do better than that, I'm sure. It's a beautiful, glorious morning. Sing unto the Lord a new song, because God has done wondrous things. God is always doing wondrous things. I say to you, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much. It is a joy to be here with you this morning, worshiping together, and a pleasure to have the opportunity to share some thoughts with you on my last Sunday. So I'm going to ask that you pray with me. Loving God, God of all people, God of wondrous things, we ask that you bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that they may be acceptable to you. Amen. So this morning, I wanted to share with you some of the wondrous things that I have seen in my time that I have spent with you. So I'm going to ask that you just buckle up for a minute, and we're going to take a little walk down memory lane. Sound okay? I remember fondly a Christmas Advent children's moment when there was only one child, and it was little Jack, and he was like two. How old was he? He was very little at that point. So he must have only been two, maybe one and a half. And for the children's moment that day, I had planned to read The Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And it was just me and Jack sitting up here, and Jack discovered very quickly that it was not as interesting listening to me read the story. It was much more interesting to slam the book shut and listen to it smack closed. And so every time I read a sentence, he would smack that book closed over and over again. And I don't know what was more impressive, the fact that he could do it over and over again, and the congregation loved it. It was highly entertaining, way more interesting than any sermon I've ever given, or the fact that I knew the Grinch well enough that I could still continue to recite the book even though it was closed 90% of the time. The Lord does wondrous things, wondrous things. I remember watching our youth on their first Youth Sunday preach, stand and deliver a sermon, heartfelt, about the immigration crisis, about the refugee crisis, and about what they wanted to do about it. I remember them talking about their own experiences of being in a new place, having just moved in from a different state, not knowing anyone, and how those experiences translated into a deep desire to reach out and help others. And this went on for 2 years, to the point that they ended up collecting and preparing almost 400 hygiene kits to be sent off to refugees in need. I remember very fondly when we had individuals from this church standing up to talk about how the church had made a difference in their lives. How many people remember those? How many people felt deeply moved and surprised at the things that they learned about how people had been touched and enriched and loved by this congregation? I remember learning over and over again how much this congregation had reached out to help people, embraced them, loved them, stood with them at their darkest hours, and stuck together through thick and thin with the help of God. I remember very fondly two little girls hearing about Youth Sunday, but they couldn't come because one is not a practicing Christian. She's a practicing Sikh and had someplace else to be that day. And the other one attends a Baptist church nearby and couldn't make it either, but they still wanted to participate. So they came the day before and went through my office and found all of the supplies that they needed, and they made a list of exactly how I was supposed to set it up on the altar with a diagram, because it was important to them, and they picked out what they thought were the prettiest vessels and the most special candles, because it was important to them to do a good job so that we would all have a worshipful experience, even though they did not attend here and could not. This warms my heart. I remember multiple times when the Meehans would come to me with an idea, especially little Michael, when he would make his videos. You've seen his slideshows with the music, and they would just come to me. I have this thumb drive. I made a video. Would you watch it? Would you be willing to play it? and they always, always warmed our hearts. I remember my first Advent here. That was when Ferguson erupted. Do you remember that? Ferguson erupted just a few days before Advent began. And I was so worried because I was very new, very new. And I didn't know if I could preach about the inherent racism, the violence, the issues that this country has had with its legacy and with police brutality during Advent. I didn't know if I could do that and still maintain my position here. I didn't know if it would be appropriate. But I took a big breath. I sucked up all my guts and I talked about it. I talked about how what Mary and Joseph were going through in that society at that time was very, very relevant to exactly what was going on in Ferguson and in cities around our country today. And what came out of that surprised me, because after the service, people were very quiet, but so many people came to me. So many people came to me privately and said, I am so glad you preached that. We've been needing to talk about this for a long time, and I want to share with you the things that I have seen when I was growing up and even recently, and all of the things that I wish I could have done differently but that I want to change now, and the things that I think we need to do and take steps as a congregation to listen, to learn, to study, and to reach out. And from that evolved the movement where we ended up inviting Matt Herron to come and talk to us about his photographs he had taken during the Selma marches and what we could do next. I remember every single time a newcomer told me they decided to come back because the people here were so warm and loving. You guys didn't get to go with me when I went out for coffee with newcomers, but I would take them out after they visited for the first time, though there's a couple of newcomers here today and I've fallen down on the job the past 2 weeks. But when I took newcomers out for coffee after their first Sunday, almost every single time they would say, I really like your church, because everyone was so warm and loving. And I want you to hear that. I want you to know that, and I want you to really internalize it. People like coming here because people here are friendly and warm and welcoming, and that is not always the case in churches. I remember when we had our first academic summer program, and all the children came running out of biology class, and they had been tasked with memorizing the different animal kingdoms. And they were challenging each other to memorize them, and then they wanted to tell me all about them. And they would come up and they'd say, plant, fungus, animal, and they would list them all off to tell me about them. And then I'd say, well, which category does this fall in? And we're standing out in the courtyard identifying and categorizing the flora and fauna around us. 20 kids all doing this together. That warmed my heart. And it really warmed my heart the following October when one of the kids had finished their homework and we asked, what else do you have to do? And she said, well, technically I have a science test, a biology test, on Friday, but I don't have to study for it because I already learned the entire human digestive system this summer, so I know I'm going to ace it. And she did. And she did. I've been praying about whether or not I should share this one with you. When I was installed, many of you don't know this happened. When I was installed, I decided to wear a dress that had a sort of a backless quality to it. And as any ladies in here know, when they wear a backless dress, you have to wear a certain kind of garment that doesn't have any straps on it. You know what I'm talking about? Gentlemen probably don't know what I'm talking about, but ladies know what I'm talking about. You have to wear a garment that doesn't have any straps. And usually those adhere because they have some sort of stickum on them, which works really well. Unless, as was the case that day, it's 100 degrees outside and 104 in the sanctuary. And I remember gesturing to some decoration that was going on up here moments before the service began with my arms up in the air and hearing a strange sucking sound running to my office just before the garment hit the floor And I can't remember if it was Lynn or Lucinda that I asked if I still looked okay under my robe. And they said, yeah, just try not to, you know, shimmy too much. And then, by God, 20 minutes later, I got installed. I remember being invited to the Meehan's house after their first Sunday here. And for those of you that don't remember or who weren't there, as they were leaving that Sunday, Jamie looked me in the eye, took me by the hand, and said, you should know we have not set foot in a church in 12 years. And yet they invited me into their home. I blessed the space where their pet had just died the previous week. I blessed all of them, and I blessed their house, and they kept coming back. For people who had not set foot in a church in 12 years, and for good reason, if you have ever heard their story, they kept coming back and have continued to bless our congregation ever since. I keep talking, I've talked many times about the Legos that I keep finding in my office, but I haven't told you about the ones that were hidden. Because the kids would like to put together these houses during the week, and then they would ask, Pastor Tracy, can we keep this? Can you save it for me? And then next week when I come back, I'll keep working on it. And I just say, I cannot promise that. I would say, I cannot promise that it'll be okay. I can't promise that someone won't touch it. In the meantime, it's best if we just break it down. That way there's no fights over who's hogging what Legos. Break them down and throw them back in the bin, and then you can build something new next week. So one little girl in particular would show up early for homework club every week. She'd come running up the hill and say, I'm here early. We have time. Can I play with Legos? Every week. And one week, I saw her digging around behind. She wasn't looking in the Lego bin. She was kind of behind the garment rack. And I'd say, what are you doing back there? And she says, well, I hide my houses now so that no one knows where they are and they don't get broken down before the next week. And it took some time, and so her hiding spot kept changing until I realized one day when she came in, she dove under my desk and pulled out the recycling bin. And she was hiding these complex houses underneath all of the recycling. And what cracks me up is not only the fact that she figured out how to do that, which was very clever, or the fact that I didn't figure it out while I was tossing things in there, but the fact that my recycling bin was emptied every single week. And Damien has been coming in for months, carefully peeling off the papers and leaving the houses intact. He never once upended that thing and dumped them all out. I am blessed when I remember how many people stepped up when someone fell ill. When Alan Miller couldn't drive, people stepped up and gave him rides. When the Meehans needed to find a new home and were having trouble finding a landlord that would rent to a gay couple with four kids, people stepped up with letters of recommendation and calls and lobbied for them, and they found the home of their dreams. I remember when we got a call, frantic call, from a father in Minnesota, 9:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning, because their son, who was struggling with mental illness and with dependency upon illegal substances, had found himself stranded in the Target parking lot right down the road. And he needed money for food and for gas, and people in the congregation pressed cash into my hand so that I could go down and help rescue that young man. Now, he went through a lot of trials and tribulations, but we stayed in touch with him. We kept reaching out. We kept helping. We kept trying to get him services, and he is now back home in Minnesota with his family, getting the help that he needs, the medical help and the support that he needs. And that was because people here reached out. Just like they reached out when we had a disabled senior who was about to be evicted down the road. People reached out with money. People reached out by going down there to wait with her while her apartment was cleaned. People went down there to wait with her and to help move things. And my children even went down there and were vacuuming her apartment. Whenever the mission board calls for backpacks, as they do every year, or pillows or blankets or food or gifts at Christmas time or letters to get more food benefits for the poor, people step up. And every single time it happens, my heart swells, because this church puts its money where its mouth is. This church walks the walk, doesn't just talk the talk. I remember with great joy taking the youth to the Rest Shelter dinner. And at the end of the meal, when everything was just about done, the ladies there started asking the youth about themselves and what they were interested in, and somehow it came out that they were in theater, and next thing you know, the youth and the ladies started singing to each other. And that turned into a bit of a dance-off. And they're singing show tunes, and they're demonstrating these awesome moves like the mashed potato, and then the youth are showing these show tunes, and then the ladies are showing how to do. It was wildly joyful. Sing unto the Lord a new song, because God has done wonderful things. I remember when the little girl, when it was dark after the homework club in the wintertime, it gets dark before they go home, and one of them thought that she saw something in my office. Now, it only turned out to just be the door handle was shifting the shades, and it looked like someone was peering at her, but really it wasn't. But I remember Michael Chan. When I was looking at what I was going to do with these kids and go check it out, I sucked up all my guts, looked out into the dark, looked at these children under my care, grabbed my keys and boldly handed them to Michael and told him to go check it out and tell us what he found. And by God, he did. And it was nothing. Thank you, Michael, for taking one for the team on that one. I remember with great love how we had a flood at Christmas time down in the basement. And I didn't find out until afterwards because David and Lewis and whoever else in the congregation knew didn't tell me. They were worried they would stress me out. And I don't know how many people knew, but God bless you for that. I remember our first year in the academic summer program, Bruce Weir taught. He taught our chemistry class. And he did a great job. He had all these experiments for the kids to blow things up and set things on fire. There are pictures. And he had asked for high school helpers because he wasn't as mobile as he wanted to be. He needed some help writing on the board and things like that. So he had three high school students wrapped around his little finger. And he had them so trained. At one point, I looked out into the courtyard and saw him in his wheelchair underneath a tree in the shade asleep. No kids around. And so I went out and I checked on him. He was fast asleep. I looked in the classroom and he had told the aides, oh, sometimes that happens with my health condition. Sometimes I may just doze off in the middle of a sentence. If that happens, just here's the lesson plan. Pick up where I left off. Take the kids inside and finish the lesson for me. And there's three high school students in there teaching college level chemistry to the kids while Bruce peacefully snoozed outside. That is working together. The Lord does wonderful things. The Lord can do wonderful things. And he still has. He treasures that time. That was one of the last huge contributions he made to this church before he fell terribly ill. But I still go visit him. And when you go into his room, when he fell ill, the children made him a picture and a card and they all signed it. And it went to the hospital where he was in the hospital. And he brought it to the next room when he went to the rehab center. And now when he is in his room, it's up on the wall. It's still there. Sing unto the Lord a new song because the Lord has done wonderful things. I remember watching. We had this highly complicated system for our nativity scene this past year. And Lucinda's granddaughter, Maya, was in charge. She was in charge, after we sang each song, to unveil the next section of the nativity scene. She would peel off this big piece of cloth. And I had told her and then she had to turn on the lights, and she did a great job. And I had told her, just put it under the altar, just like this, and then, you know, go sit down, and no one will even know that it's there. And I remember watching with delight as she did everything perfectly, peeled the fabric off, turned on the lights, and then walked around the front of the altar, lifted up the plank, threw it under 5 times in a row. And you know what? It brought down the house. Lucinda couldn't see that. She was in the choir. It was a delight. The children do wonderful things. God is always working through them to bring us joy and laughter. I remember the first time we tried to do the treasure hunt. Remember the treasure hunt? During the Christmas Eve family service? And I had taken paper towel rolls and hidden the candles in them so they wouldn't be damaged as a little protector and then wrapped them all up. And the kids were supposed to find the next clue, the next clue, the next clue. And there was some little boy visiting and he found the next clue and he was opening it. And I was trying to build excitement and I said, what is it? What is it? Ooh, what's in there? You know how adults do at Christmas time. Ooh, what's in there? What's in there? Do you remember what he said? He gasped when he opened it. He said, It's a toilet paper rule! And then Judy Girard gathered all of her toilet paper rolls, wrapped them in glitter and tinsel, and presented me with a Christmas present the following Sunday. I remember every time we prayed together. Every time we've prayed together, I remember during the prayer time how we pray together. We care about each other. When we tried to change it, people said, no, this is the most important part of the service. It's when we share with one another what's important, what's going on in our lives, and where we need help. And it's we have to have that time. It is sacred, and indeed it is sacred. I remember when I sprained my knee. Remember when I sprained my knee? We won't go into the details of how that happened. Let's just say it happened. And David appeared with a walker for me to use, and Lewis gave me his cyborg knee brace with 18 bells and whistles all over it so that I could get around for 3 weeks until it healed. People stepped up. I remember my child, Rosemary, everybody being very understanding as she was climbing onto the roof and cutting Sunday school and getting into all sorts of trouble. But one Sunday, I remember her running out of Sunday school class because a baby was here. Little Sierra had come, and she was the only one in the nursery. And Rosemary decided she needed more friends. So she cut Sunday school without telling anybody, ran down the hill, gathered up all of the homework club kids that she had gotten to know at the homework club, told them there was a baby that needed more friends, and walked them all up the hill. And all of a sudden, we had 8 new kids in Sunday school that day. She says sometimes, Mommy, I hate church. I think this is all stupid. And yet she is a born outreach leader. She is a born evangelist. Those kids came back and kept coming back because of her. This is a beloved community, what you have here. And I have been so privileged to be a part of it. Watching everyone helping each other and helping out in the community, where everyone is valued, everyone is embraced, everyone is loved. This, watching people break bread together in a circle, laughing together, valuing each other, and using their God-given gifts and talents to change the world one heart at a time. This is where the rubber hits the road in Christianity. This is the beloved community. This is what Jesus calls us to strive for every day. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, God is there with us. And God has been with us from the beginning. And God has been with us while we spent our time together. And God will be with us after I go. But I will cherish the memories that I have. I will cherish the time that we spent together. And I want to thank you for allowing me to learn, to grow, to make mistakes, to laugh with you, and to break bread with you. Sing to the Lord a new song. For God has done marvelous things. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Thank you all so very, very much. God bless you and keep you today and always. Can I get an amen to that?